سلام کعبه دلها حسین جان، سلام شمع ما فلها حسین جانم،
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم.
حسین محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعن جيش. أما بعد، فقد قال الإمام الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام: رأس كل خطيئة حب الدنيا. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Brother and sister, I request you all to please come forward to, so all you can come close to the member, and please everyone participate here. Sisters as well, please come forward. We have had two nights of majalis here, and it was in relation, in respect of the shahadat of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam, and in continuation of the morning services that we do every year in the months of Muharram and Safar as part of our expression of devotion to the family of Holy Prophet, and to also pay our tribute to the martyrs of Karbala and those who laid their lives to protect Islam many years ago. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write our names in that list of mourners of Abi Abdullah, the list of those who remember this great sacrifice. I spoke two nights ago regarding Ujb, the love for oneself, and how that is a problem with many of us, that in Islam sin is sin, but it is not considered as bad as self-love. That means a person who thinks himself better than other people. Tonight, another topic in morals, another topic in akhlaq, related to love of this world, love of this life, and worldly things. And it's mostly through the hadith from A'imma, how they view the love of this dunya and how that played out in the struggle of Karbala and early Islam. Hubbud dunya, how it affected people, how it had affected masses, Muslim masses, and the results of that in this dunya and akhirat. In a hadith that I just recited from our sixth Imam, Hazrat Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he said, رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, the head of all the sins, the root of all problems, that all the moral problems, ethical problems, is the love of this dunya. When we say dunya, dunya means this world, but what do we mean by love of this world? Love of this world is something, dunya first of all, what is dunya, so we can say what is love of this dunya. Dunya is something that distracts a person from Allah, that gets him to, or her to, mess up his priorities. For example, a person is created for this, not for this short span of life, but rather for a higher purpose. But this dunya comes in the way of pursuing that higher purpose and indulging in something that is only to stay here, and falling in love with something that will not continue, and there will not be any continuation of that, neither the work that a person does for something so temporary, neither the work will be rewarded forever, nor, so that sort of love that shifts a person's attention from his purpose of creation, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from akhirat, to just loving this dunya for itself and getting it more and then feeling more hirs and greed of this dunya. So the love of dunya leads to greed of the dunya, hirs. So the ahadith in this chapter talk about both topics, love of this dunya and the greed that comes as a result of love of this dunya. That to the extent that in one hadith I was reading that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some dunya to a person, He also gives that much of greed to that person also. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a person to be greedy. No. It is because it is a lazimai dunya. It is tied to the dunya. The more a person seeks this dunya, the more greed it creates for the dunya. That's why in hadith said that the example of the dunya is that the water of the ocean. The more you drink it, the more thirsty you become. So, it is, for example, when a person has been in this process and then seeks more of it, then would not be willing to do anything that would harm his worldly interests. That's the result of the greed. That the greed will basically, what it does is that it disrupts the moral character of a person. There is a first nature and the second nature. So Aristotle also talked about first nature, that people are born in this world with a potential which can grow into morality. It's a potential only. So that first nature requires proper tarbiyat and proper correct choices to be made over a long period of time to ripen, to become, to actualize into what we call moral character, you know. But what happens is a person when he is born in this world and because of the wrong tarbiyat that he gets, that is, makes more greedy to run after this dunya and self-interest and shuhrat, which is also tied to dunya. So what happens is that the second nature which should actualize, it never actualizes. Or it is very dim, it's like a light is very dim, it's hardly noticeable. Another hadith from Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. He said that two wolves attacking a flock of sheep, right? A flock of sheep that has no shepherd. The shepherd has walked away, left the sheep to fend for themselves. And then we know that the sheep require that. Without that, this flock is just loose. And then two wolves attack this from front and behind. Right? The danger of these two wolves on this for this flock of sheep is not as much as the love of wealth and love of sharaf for a person regarding his religion. The love of this dunya and the love of fame, right? Love of fame is more harmful to a person than a couple of wolves attacking a flock of sheep. How much harm can they do? Love of this, it corrupts a person's soul. Now, it can be explained in logically, rationally. Again, I refer to Aristotle because he was perhaps the first person to really organize these things. And he said that a person, usually when he does an action, he looks at the final outcome of that. For every person, there is a goal that he has in mind for which he's doing every action. For example, you choose to take up a job and work, you're thinking, for example, I have this much pay and then with that I can do this and work and keep myself happy and my family and all that. Okay, that's a short-term goal after all. Relates to this life, relates to the acquisition of worldly things which bring a certain pleasure for a person, a timely pleasure for a person when he has some wealth or benefits, worldly benefits, material benefits. And now if this itself, right, this itself is not called happiness. This itself is not called happiness. What we call in Arabic sa'adat. And or Islam, Quran calls hayat al-tayyibah, you know. That, oh people, answer the call of Allah to what they are calling you, right? So that he will give you life, a pure life, you know, a pure life or sahadat, which is happiness that relates to the humanity of a person. Now look at what a human being is. A human being is generally considered from the animal kingdom. We don't belong to the plant kingdom, for example. We belong to the animal kingdom, which means that we have the ability to move, we are intentionally move from one place to another, we grow up like other animals, even like plants. But then what differentiates us from plants is that we can move around. Plants cannot move around. We intentionally move around. We have a choice to do something or not do something. That which plants don't seem to have, right? Intention. Acting by intention. So human beings resemble animals. They share this quality with animals. But what human beings have and animals do not have is our other part. Our intellectual part that we have and animals do not have. So what makes us humans is not the first part, being an animal. What makes us human is the second part, ability to reason. The ability to reason makes us human beings, not the ability, because that makes us an animal. So as a human being, a person wants to be more human or a better human, he must develop the second part more, must develop his ability to reason correctly, to determine human goals for things. Human goals for something relates to his thoughts. So a person who acts with a goal in his mind, an outcome that must relate to not his animal side but his human side, which will make him a more better human. That's how Aristotle reasoned this. He said that the goal should be a human goal, a goal that relates to a virtuous character, which should be happiness in a very, you know, deep, profound way that relates to the humanity of a person. And wealth and greed, love of this dunya and greed for this dunya, it goes to the first part, not the second part. Because it's material things. Attaching yourself to material things helps you strengthen your animal side, not your human side. That's why a person who verbally professes to be a believer or a religious person, right? He is verbally saying, my second part is to be made stronger. But if he commits himself to acquire more of dunya, and which every part of dunya we get that much greed along with it. So it's only weakening his human side and strengthening his animal side. At least rationally speaking, this is the explanation. Now if you go further into Islamic literature, you'll find better explanations for this. Better explanations that relate to akhirat and liqa'ullah, meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And again, ajr and sawab of amal akhirat and the barzakh and other things. But the spiritual and intellectual impact of that is very, very important indeed. Another hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. It says that our sixth Imam narrates from the Holy Prophet of Islam, who said, "Man lam yata'azza bi'aza'illah." These are words that are nurani. I mean, when I read the hadith and I translate it, I'm thinking that these are far, far, far more better than me speaking something. Because the hadith, it is coming from the mouth of an Imam Mahsub. Then I personally, when I attend a speech, I listen to it, see, I see how much hadith has he quoted. How many ayat of Holy Quran has speaker quoted? And if you see 1 hour of speech and not one hadith quoted, I don't consider that a meaningful speech. Because even if we say what is best, what seems best to us, it can just never be equal to the word of a Masoom, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the very important thing about narrating the words of Masoom is to look at all or at least a lot of words on that topic from the Masoom, not just one hadith. And that is called Fiqhul Hadith. Fiqhul Hadith is the understanding of Hadith when you look at the family of Hadith on that subject, not just one Hadith. And one problem that happens with any religious text is people, when they quote and they get misguided, they confuse themselves with a Hadith or Ayat of Quran, is because they look at only one Ayat on that subject, or one hadith of that subject. And that can be the main reason why people end up doing the wrong thing and quoting hadith and Quran for that. Because they do not look at all the. And the advantage that we have and other people do not have is that we have so many hadiths on every subject, but other people do not. That's why the chances of misguidance of other people who do not attach themselves to Ahlul Bayt are very high. Because if you do, all you have is one or two hadiths on a very important subject, and those hadiths are weak or incomplete, then you have a major problem to deal with. Because we are dealing with now a situation where a person is religious and misguided. But a person who attaches himself to the household of Holy Prophet, Ayyamah Athar al Masafa, you will see that he has a chance to look at so much information on one subject that it explains itself. One ambiguity in one hadith explained by another hadith. Imam al-Islam, this is a beautiful hadith. That's why I said this, where I said, you know, the Holy Prophet said, Man lam yata'azza bi'aza'illah, a person who does not endure and does not show patience for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not, for example, suffer hardship, or suffer, you know, or for example, show patience for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَقَتَّعَتْ نَفْسُهُ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا. What will happen is this person, his soul, you know, نَفْسُهُ could mean his soul or his whole being, you know, will break into pieces out of حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا. What is حَسَرَات? حَسْرَات is grief over what he has lost of this dunya. Let me explain these words. They are really deep and beautiful words. Because Imam Hussain alayhi salam, when he was leaving the camp, he said to Bibi Zainab salamullah alayha, ta'azzi bi'aza'illah. Exactly this, ta'azzi. Ta'azzi means endure with the aza of Allah. Aza means sabr. Aza, one meaning of the word aza is sabr. Sabr ala na'iba. Patience over hardship and musibat. That's called aza. Patience. Right? So show endurance in hardship for the sake of Allah, he said to his sister when leaving her. And then he assured Bibi Zainab and all the women and children who were surrounded him, he said, and remember, Allah will not abandon you. It was a very critical time, because you are talking about the honor of Prophet's family, and Imam is leaving them to whom? He said, I'm leaving them to Allah, and he will protect you. It was a promise that he will protect the women and children. Of course they suffered, but the suffering that they endured added to their honor and their respect in the eyes of Muslim Ummah and all those people who value, for example, greatness, human greatness. So he said, Man lam yata'azza, a person who does not endure for the sake of Allah, he will crush himself, destroy himself, grieving over this dunya. Because if you do not endure something for Allah, then what is that doing to you? For example, you lose something. Now either you endure for the sake of Allah, or do what? Grieve over something. Grief, result of grief is what? What if a person lost wealth, family, fortune, name, accidents, mishaps, other things, mistakes, right? What is the result? What happens to this person? Suicide, self-annihilation, addictions. Today's world, today we know that. تَقَتَّعَ النَّفْسُهُ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا وَمَنْ أَتْبَعَ بَصَرَهُ مَا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. The Holy Prophet said these words. A person who, for example, follows with his eyes, right? أَتْبَعَ بَصَرَهُ, أَتْبَعَ, to let something follow something. A person who follows, right, lets his eye follow what is in the hands of people. He keeps, for example, wondering or looking at what people have. كَثُرَ هَمُّهُ, his anguish will be a lot. His worries and anxiety will increase. كَثُرَ هَمُّهُ, هَمُّ غَمْ, today we call anxiety, worries, parishani, you know. وَلَمْ يَشْفِ غَيْظَهُ, and his anger will never silence, will never be cured. Anger over what? For example, shikayat. Why so-and-so had an island? Walam, waman, another part of this hadith. I had to think about it a lot. because this hadith really explains a lot of beautiful things. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَرَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عَلَيْهِ نِعْمَةً. A person who does not see, right, that Allah gave him any favor except food, right, and drink. A person to think favor of Allah means food and drink. That's what favor of Allah means. Ni'mat, he thinks that Allah gives the only ni'mat which I count as ni'mat, he thinks. If I, what I see as ni'mat is that Allah gives me good food and material things. It's not just somebody talking about food and drink. So all material things, physical things, right? Physical pleasure, he thinks that all Allah, the ni'mat Allah gave me is food and drink and physical pleasures, right? Or malbasin, or clothes, for example. Now, these are the examples the Imam is giving. فَقَدْ قَصَرَ عَمَلُهُ وَدَنَا عَذَابُهُ. Then his action will be very little. He'll have a lot of taqseer in his actions, kutahi. And his adab will be very close. Imagine, look at, let's say a person defines favor of Allah as a beautiful house and material things, right? First of all, he will not consider knowledge as a favor. He will not consider character as a favor. He will not consider, for example, for us, Quran as a favor. He will not consider hadith of Ahlul Bayt as important. He will not consider Ziyarat of Abi Abdullah, Hajj Baytullah Haram, you know. He will not think, for example, visiting a senior Ayatullah or scholar as something important. Because he thinks that maybe he goes, who knows? Allah has saved us. Maybe he goes just to fulfill his duty. He said, get it over with before I have to do so many things, you know, checklist, you know, I just do that. But it doesn't really count for him. These things don't really count for him. What counts is what he's doing for 99% of his time. That's what counts. So a person who does not consider knowledge as ni'mat, guidance as ni'mat, favors of Allah are limited in money and these kind of things, right? What will happen? Of course, he will not act. He's not going to act. And his azab will be very close. He will not act. In a materialist society, people, for example, what they do is, they spend most of the time, they spend time on things that will bring them money. They must have a commercial value. In an Islamic society, when I travel to Hauza or other places, you know, see that in an Islamic society, even the money, people value religious things, so they pay money for religious things because they think this is important. Right? If someone wants to publish a book, you'll have so many donors coming to help him publish this book, for example. A book of hadith, a book of something. So many thousands of books come out in Islamic Republic every month. In many countries, even many Muslim countries, so-called Muslim countries, once a year we have few books coming out. We have thousands of books coming out. Because people have learned to value these things. Learned to value the ni'mat of Allah that He is not limited to food and clothing. Ni'mat of Allah, favors of Allah, the important, more important favors are, for example, Muwalat, the Walayat of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Then a person, Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, offered food to a person, Sahabi. He had food with Imam, and the food was really delicious. So Imam asked him, how was, he said, he was saying this ayah, he said, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Ni'mat of Allah, you must say, and he said, beautiful food, I've never had food like this in my life. It was the taste of the food, basically. Imam's food, you know. So, Imam alayhi salam said that the ni'mat of Allah that you are saying you're thankful for is this food that Allah will ask about this ni'mat on the day of Qiyamah. You know, وَلَا تُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Surely you will be asked about the ni'mat of Allah on the last day. Do you think this food is what the ni'mat Allah is going to ask you about? He had no answer. Imam said, if I invite you to dinner and I ask you to thank me for it, or ask you about, for example, how was my food, shall I show my favor on you, do you think it's a proper thing to do? He said, no. I mean, you invited me, obviously you invited me to food. You're not going to ask me about the food you gave me, because this is why you invited me. In fact, when a host shows humility to the guest, does not, for example, embarrass the host. Nobody does that. So how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, I invited you all to this dunya, and didn't I give you oxygen to breathe? Didn't I give you food to eat? That was something he gave, because he's Latif. You know, Mahraban is Rahman. Then what is the ni'mat about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question? The ni'mat for the insaniyat in us, not for the haywaniyat in us. Ni'mat that you don't see with your eyes, that but you realize when you think, right? When you read, when you study, when you think about something, right? That is ni'mat of wilayat of Muhammad and wa ala Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. That the Holy Prophet said, that is the ajr of my risalat. وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَبَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Because he knew that people realize, people think the ni'mat is limited to food and drink. Okay, whenever they will eat, they say, Alhamdulillah, they're thinking ni'mat is this. So thanking of ni'mat means, oh Allah, thank you for this. Ni'mat of Allah is the ni'mat aqli, ni'mat that is ma'qul, not ni'mat that is mahsus, right? Obviously, a person will have shortcomings in his actions if he limits his ni'mat of Allah, worries a lot about material things. He will not act for knowledge. You see, most people who go to school, a lot of people, and I ask children when I teach sometimes, I say, you know, why do you come to school? He said, because we want to, for example, become doctors. We want to become something and make a lot of money. This is my goal. Well, what if, for example, you were not able to complete your studies? Who knows the future? Nobody knows. What if you graduated and never found a job, the kind of job you are dreaming about? Or maybe you found a beautiful job and nice thing and you lose your health in the process. Then what? Or you have good health but somebody dies around you. Then what? Or you lose your job after 5 years. Then what? So why are you coming to school today? You don't know the future. How do you? Just in the hope that you will get it? So all this, let's say all this is just for that reason? What you are doing today is seeking, learning something, and you limit the reward of that to the food you eat? Is that what it is? And that is a problem with a lot of people who go to schools and colleges. When they think that the reward of learning, the reward of going to school is job, which translates into food and whatever, right? They are misguided. Because the value of going to school, the reward of going to school every day is not the job you get 20 years later, 10 years later, or what your mom or dad buys you when you pass in the exam. No. For the reward of going to school every day is that knowledge which you get every day. That is the reward. That builds your character, that makes you a better person, more informed, more intelligent. That is the reward. Just as the reward of going to a doctor. Now, when kids are little, you know, small, the mom and dad say, okay, go to a dentist, we'll take you to a dentist, and if you behave well, we are going to buy you something. Let the doctor do his job, I'm going to buy you something. And children think sometimes that the benefit of going to a dentist is to get that reward. What is the benefit of going to a doctor? Anyone?
Get better,
feel better, health is a, but we misguide sometimes our kids, thinking that, you know, that thing you get is the benefit of going there. No. From Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, his narrated, he says, my father Abu Ja'far, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, said, the mathalul harisi ala dunya mathalul dudatil qaz. The person who is greedy after the dunya, his example is like the silkworm. Right? He spins this cocoon around itself. Kullama izdadat min al qaz ala nafsiha laffan kana ab'ad laha min al khuruj. The more it spins this cocoon around itself, the silkworm gets caught in this, trapped in this. It's harder for it to come out. حَتَّى تَمُوتُ غَمَّا. Of course, so for the silkworm, Allah has created the way for it to come out of that cocoon. Because it has secreted something which opens a path in one part of the cocoon, it comes out of it. Right? Sheds the skin and starts flying or whatever. Imam is saying that a person who has greed for this dunya, he spins this cocoon around himself so much, hatta tamut, ghamman, until he dies out of grief, gham. Think about, how does that happen? There is a person running after this dunya, like running after a mirage. A mirage that never shows itself. You run, keep running after it, and you come close and she's nothing. So, running after a dream that may or may not happen, the chances of that, who knows, what are the chances? 5%, 10%, we don't know really the chances of actually getting that dream are small. It's like spinning this thing around himself, trapping himself, because if that's all he wants, if that's all a person seeks, is a material reward for all his efforts that he's making every day, he's going to trap himself, close himself, right, in this trap, this cocoon of worldly dreams, or zuhad, amal or zuhad, in the end he'll suffocate himself. Abadna, and it's harder for him to come out of tatamud ghamman. And then Imam Sadiq himself, he said, أَغْدَ الْغِنَى مَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِلْحِفْسِ أَسِيرًا. The best form of prosperity, right, is for the person who is not trapped in his greed. That's the best form of prosperity for a person. It's not how much you actually own. How less of a greed you cultivate in your heart, that much prosperous you are. Person who is, content with what Allah will give him, inshallah. That much peace and tranquility a person will have. Really, greed means not expecting from the people. Because most of the time, this will disappoint. Most of the time when you expect something to come out from people, it will not happen. So, وقال. And then our sixth Imam said, لا تشعروا قلوبكم على الاشتغال بما قد فات. Imam said, do not busy your hearts, right, in worrying about things that you have lost. Keep worrying about things that, oh my God, I wish I had graduated from that college. I wish I had found that job. I didn't mess up with my interview. Oh, I wish I had, gotten those benefits, stayed in that company for another 2 years and I would have been promoted to this. Keep worrying about it. I wish my child had not died. I wish somebody was alive today. I wish this had happened. I wish I had chosen a different profession or different career, whatever. Keep worrying about the past. I wish I had not done this. Wish I would not have done this. And I said, do not busy your hearts with that. What will happen? فَتَّشْغَلُوا أَذْهَانَكُمْ. Because it will busy your minds. When you busy your heart with something, right? Is it busy your mind into doing what? Into not caring about things that actually matter. وَلِشْتِغَالْ لِمَا لَمْ يَأْتِ. You'll busy yourself so much in the past that you will not worry about future. Worry about things that will come eventually. And you're worrying and worrying constantly, right? Allah inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. The awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have no fear and no grief. Why not? Because the fear relates to future. What if I don't get a job? What if this happens? And the huzn and malal and afsos is about the past. About things that could not happen. A person did not get, did not achieve. And a lot of things, I don't think any human being is without these two things. Except something who is the wali of Allah. Someone who is in the wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who is realist about this dunya, looks at the way dunya really is. That means looks at, fana around him. Goes to the cemetery, looks at these people. My God, younger than me passed away, Most of us have buried someone younger than ourselves. It's amazing how we still are asleep. how many times we have buried children, how many times we have buried people younger than us, richer than us, more educated than us, and we still think that it will not come to us. Last hadith for tonight, it is from, narrator is from Ibn Abi Ya'fur. He says, I heard Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam saying, من تعلق قلبه بالدنيا تعلق قلبه بثلاث خصال. A person who busies, whose heart is attached, a person whose heart is attached to dunya, then his heart will be attached to three things. When you attach your heart to dunya, you will attach your heart to three things. Hammin la yafna. Ham means worries that never die. Wa amalin la yudrak. And desires and hopes, right? They will never be acquired. Wa raja'in la yunal. And hopes, you know, that you will never reach. They will never fulfill. No materialize. Right? So I mean, dunya comes along with so much baggage. Dunya, I mean, of course these words of Ahlul Bayt are supposed to awaken us, because awakening a person means that becoming more realistic, waqi' bin honest. A person who is more haqiqat pasand, you know, a person who looks at dunya the way it really is. That's what it means, awakening. People who are asleep, they dream about this dunya the way it is not. The way they expect this dunya to be, which it can never be. Because dunya will never be what we want it to be. It is what it is. And we need to adapt. We need to change our, that means correct our perspective. Correct our view of this dunya. It will not correct. Once I mentioned this in one of the khutbahs, at the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting with his ashab and he drew a line on the sand. And he said, this is the human being. Then he drew another line on the sand. He says, these are his dreams. These are the hopes, the plans, and ambitions that we'll get 20 years later. And then he drew a third line between the first line and the second line. He said, this is death. Allahu Akbar. He said, death is in the middle of, between those desires. It lies right between you and your dreams. That's the place of death. And because, of course, that doesn't mean a person will not get anything in life, but the way we want will never happen. The way we want, the way we think that we will have 20 years later, 10 years later, it will never happen that way. Because the Prophet said it, death is in the way. Death is going to come to us before we get our dreams. That is just a fact. And for this reason, when dunya is not wafa, ba wafa, dunya is not loyal to anyone. You seek this dunya, you care about this dunya, I care about this dunya so much, this dunya does not care about. It will not be loyal, it will not be faithful to me. Even if I spend all my life after this dunya, it will not keep its promise to me. And that's why this school of Ashura, it shows us the truth of this dunya. One of the fawaid and benefits of Azadari, of Sayyid al-Shuhada, is that a person who looks at what happened in this whole story of Ashura, his love of this dunya will decrease. Or go away for some people. But mostly it will decrease. For everyone who sits on Farshiyaza on the Majlis of Sayyid al-Shuhada, why? Because he said, is this the dunya? It's not worth living for. Dunya in which Imam Hussain alayhi salam is killed with his companions like this for, and Yahya ibn Zakariya, a dunya of which Zainab al-Kubra is being taken as a captive. You know? Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, the son of a prophet, is being taken on the streets, you know, this way. The heads of the shuhada are being paraded on the streets. People throwing things on these awliya of Allah. Children falling from the camels, dying in the deserts. Today even Lebanon and other places, the Christian areas of Lebanon, they are holding signs of memories of these usara of Karbala even to this day. But Sajjad al-Islam from Ashura, he came to Sham, and from there he went back to Medina. Just remember Hazrat Sajjad al-Islam. It is so painful to try to imagine Hazrat Sajjad mourning the rest of his years in this world. 38 years that he cried for Abi Abdullah. And one of his ashab, he came to him and said, Ya Abdul Rasulullah, you cry so much. Can we have some silence, please? Lotfan socket washi, or barname darim, tashibe bari birun. Lotfan salawat bifis.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
You see Hazrat Sajjad alayhi salam, when he sees his companions asking him, Ya Abdul Rasulullah, He said, Ibn Rasulullah, you keep crying. And he said, the Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he had 11 sons and one of his sons was lost and he had not seen him or was alive. But he cried so much that his eyes became white and he lost his eyesight. And Imam was asked, the Imam, you cry so much you will die. And he said, Whenever I remember the Shuhada of Karbala, what happened, the Maqtal of, you know, the children of Fatima al-Zahra, whenever I remember that, it chokes me and my tears just start coming automatically in my eyes. Because I saw the 18 young men and the descendants of Prophet slaughtered and treated, killed so brutally after days of hunger and thirst. Imam al-Islam never had any peace in his life after that. He was crying till the end of his life. They will bring water and he would look at the water and started crying. They would look food for Sayyid Sajjad. And the moment he see the food, he started crying. It is narrated one day he was passing through the market. They say whenever Imam would pass through the market, and the butchers, they were selling meat, they would cover the meat. They would cover the heads of these goats that they had slaughtered. Because once Imam was passing through the marketplace and he saw the heads of these goats on these shops, he stopped to ask them, did you give water to these animals before you slaughtered them? He said, Yabda Rasulullah, we are Muslims. When we slaughter an animal, we water the animal. We quench his thirst. This is our tradition. And Imam would turn towards Karbala and say, Salaamu Alaika Ya Abdullah. You were the son of the Prophet and you were deprived of water for 3 days and then you were killed with such brutality.
Allah
make the zuhur of Imam al-Islam close. Allah forgive our sins. Allah give us all tawfiq of ziyarat Karbala. Allah give nuraniya to our hearts and remove the darkness of sins from our hearts and remove the love of this life from our heart and give us the love of fazilat and ilm and ma'arif of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam.
Salam e Kabe dil ha Hussain jaan, salam e Sham e ma fil ha Hussain jaan, Hussain jaanam, Hussain jaanam, Hussain jaan, Hussain jaanam, Hussain jaanam, Hussain jaanam. Salam e Babera mat Babe Janna, Salam e Babera mat Babe Janna, Salam e Rahbare Wala Hussain jaanam. Salam e Miveye Qalbe Payambar, Salam e Miveye Qalbe Payambar, Salam e Zadeye Zahra Hussain jaanam.
Hussain jaanam, Hussain jaanam, Hussain jaanam, Hussain jaanam, Hussain jaanam, Hussain jaanam.
Hamishe balabam name تو باشم، همیشه بلبن نام تو باشم، همی گویم که ای مولا حسین جانم، قامت را از دل و جان میپذیرم، قامت را از دل و جان میپذیرم، کنم برپا از آیت را حسین جانم،
حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم،
سلام کعبه دلها حسین جانم، سلام کعبه دلها حسین جانم، سلام شمع من فلها حسین جانم،
حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، جانم، حسین جانم،
سلام ای باب رحمت باب جانم، سلام ای باب رحمت باب جانم، سلام ای رهبر والا حسین جانم، سلام ای میوه قلب پیام
حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم،
همیشه بلبن نام تو باشم، همیشه بلبن نام تو باشم، همی گویم که قامت را از دل و جان میپذیرم، قامت را از دل و جان میپذیرم، کنم برپا از آیت را حسین جانم،
حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم.